You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Nordic fans. Welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 446, and we're here to talk about, of course, Nordic's victory over LSU in the Citrus Bowl. We're going to talk about Elko leaving the Irish, and there's some transfers. Some guys headed early to the NFL, and a lot to talk about, really, because we haven't done a podcast in a long time, Randall.
Yeah, it's been, what, 2 weeks?
It feels like it seems a lot longer than that.
It was last year. So a lot has happened between now and then.
Yeah. Let's talk about the more recent news, and then we'll wrap up talking more about the bowl game then.
Well,
and briefly our thoughts on that.
I'll say this. I didn't have much internet access when I was on my trip. Basically, no internet access, except the day of the game. We did have access. We were at a hotel out at the Keys. And anyways, then I was offline again. And it would have been Thursday night. We landed in Atlanta, and my phone was, I was like, what? Elko is gone. Then it's pretty soon another, oh, so-and-so is gone. So-and-so is gone. And it was just like, good grief. Everything is just falling apart. So I was trying to weed through all the stuff and figure out what was actually going on.
It did feel like the world was falling.
It was shocking. It was big. I mean, it wasn't like, a lot of the stuff wasn't expected at all.
Yeah. Well, Brian Kelly had assured the media that the staff is going to stay intact. Just a few days earlier. But my initial response, and I think everyone's initial response was, one or two responses, how could Notre Dame let this happen? How could they not pony up and pay him whatever money he needed? And the other response was, what did Brian Kelly do that Elko doesn't want to coach with him? I was definitely in the first camp, why didn't Notre Dame pony up? But then more news came out about Elko had, I'm sure everyone knows this by now, but just real briefly, Elko had come to Notre Dame to see if they would match offers from A&M twice, and then the third time they said no. And so my feelings are very different knowing that than it was initially.
Yeah, at first I was just irritated because here Notre Dame is not paying up, like you said. But obviously I think it's kind of low of Elko, and I'm not just saying this because he's gone now, but he originally had a contract. I believe he had a 3-year contract with Notre Dame. And Notre Dame did match his offer twice. And you can't keep doing that. And for a guy, obviously, he wasn't going to stay around. I mean, obviously, he was on the fence anyways. Like, if he keeps coming back three times, the first thing I thought of was, even before I knew all that, was, okay, we should have kind of expected a good coordinator. You go to the other schools, go to Alabama. They have new coordinators every year because when you're a good school, your coordinators aren't going to stay around. They're going to get hired. Ohio State does it, and guess what? They just replace them again with the next guy. But it seemed like things were trending in the right direction.
Well,
here's the question. Do you think Elko, which a lot of people are talking about it, but you know, should he have been the top paid defensive coordinator in the country?
No. I don't think so. Maybe.
And here's something else. One of my good friends is an A&M fan, lives down in Texas, A&M fan. Of course, he texts me and wonder if I'm irritated about it or if it's good riddance. And I said,
it's not good riddance.
I said, no, he's a really good coach. And said, well, he doesn't know. He said A&M, him and other fans get upset because A&M just throws money out there and gets screwed all the time. They're on the other side of what Notre Dame is. We fuss about Notre Dame not paying guys what, you know, everybody else is and keeping guys around. But A&M is in the other direction, and they just throw money at him. And they offered another guy over $2 million. So it wouldn't have stopped at the $1.8 that he got. It wouldn't have stopped. And I think Notre Dame, Jack Swarbrick, Rivers and Chart, they saw what was happening, and I think they made the right move.
And I even saw some hate towards Jack Swarbrick, which surprised me because he has brought Notre Dame back from the Stone Ages. You're not a fan of him either?
No, I'm sighing because nobody should be mad at Jack Swarbrick.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, yeah, look at where the basketball program has gotten to. And you know, that program was on the rise. I mean, well, I don't know. It's been a solid program under Bray, but definitely the last 6 years.
They're finally starting to give Bray what he wants as well.
Yeah.
But, hey, this is something, yeah, I hate the idea of, you know, now we got to find another defensive coordinator. And it doesn't sound exciting to promote from within, but at some point that might be a good idea to keep this defense. Otherwise, you're going to have to teach this a new defense to the team again.
I do want to talk about that, but before we do, you had mentioned other top schools, Alabama, Ohio State, you know, they get coordinators and then they get elevated to other jobs and they're head coaches. So they're always needing to get new offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators, whatever. And they're always, I mean, Alabama, Ohio State, they've been doing that. And that's what good programs do. So here's Brian Kelly's chance. I mean, Elko was going to leave at some point. He wasn't going to be around for the next 10 years. He was going to leave at some point. So now it was inevitable. Here it is. And now it's time to make another good hire or promote within. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Well, I want to say, I expect him to be here for 2 years. When he first came, I expect him to be here for 2 years, then he get a head coaching job. I think this actually hurts his chance a little bit with the head coaching job because now he's known as a guy that'll bolt for money if he gets another bigger offer. Oh, and the other thing I want to tell you, when we start thinking about coaches, remember the uproar when Tony Alford left?
I know.
And there's been a huge improvement.
And I was uproaring over that too.
So, it seems we don't... If, yeah, go ahead.
So, yeah, the two options are, you know, promote within, and really, I think the only two guys that are really options are Lee.
Clark Lee.
And Elston. So, yeah, it doesn't sound exciting, and that's definitely not what the fan base wanted a year ago.
With Mike Elston.
Yeah.
Clark Lee wasn't around.
Well, Clark Lee wasn't around, but I mean promoting within the program.
Yeah. I was worried right when I heard that, I was scared Clark Lee would leave too. But
I was too.
Like we were talking before, and Clark Lee, he's been with Elko for the last 3 years. He's had other coaching jobs away from Elko that haven't been with O. It's just been the last 3 years, two at Wake Forest, one here at Notre Dame. But he's never been a defensive coordinator. But he knows the system, the linebackers. Here's the other thing. The other thing that worries me about this whole thing is, first of all, you still got Coney and Jerry Tillery have to decide what they're going to do. And I'm worried that if we get an outside coordinator, they'll probably leave.
I think Coney's going to leave regardless. And
I don't know. Yeah, there's a good chance he might. But it's almost like if you get somebody outside the program, he's for sure leaving. If you have Clark Lee running the defense, that might get him to stay because now his position coach is running the defense.
Or anyone from internal because they'll know that, well, assuming that
Especially Clark Lee.
But even if it's Elston, assuming that they'll run a similar defense. And here's the thing. Scheme does matter, but fundamentals matter more. If you're not fundamentally sound, then it doesn't matter what scheme you're running. And that was one of the things that Elko talked about in the post game interview. He talked about, you know, what are some of the big changes or improvements that have been made since he got here, and fundamentals was one of the things that he said, and we've seen a big difference in that. I mean, yeah, I don't need to go into it. We all know how it was a year ago.
So it'll be, and it kind of messes with recruiting. Now you have. Okay, this year worked out great. Notre Dame signed all the guys that were committed at the time. It was the early signing period. But a lot of coaching changes have been made since then. And so you wonder if next year, just across college football, if the early signing period will be as successful as it was this year. They've done it once. They've seen what happens. And Elko was a very good recruiter. And Notre Dame put together one of the best defensive recruiting classes that they've had in a long time. And now one of the main guys is gone. So, yeah, obviously it would be known that the coach, there's a good chance he would leave. But still, if you're a recruit, why not wait 2 months? it's not going to hurt any. I mean, yeah, it puts more pressure on the school, but you for your, I mean, for yourself making a decision. Because if you do commit, you can't just go to another school if they offer you more money.
One thing, if they do promote internally with either Clark Lea or Elston, the demeanor of the defensive coordinator is vastly different. Those two personalities are night and day different than what Elko was. Elko was fiery, and you saw it in that little video before the Miami game. You know, he was dropping F-bombs and yelling and super full of energy, and that's definitely not Clark Lea. And I haven't seen Elston be super explosive either, so it's going to be different if they promote internally as far as the demeanor and personality of the defensive coordinator. I don't think it's bad. I think it's indifferent, as long as it's something that the players respond to.
Yeah,
I do think.
Lea was with Elko 1 year at Bowling Green, 1 year at Wake Forest, and then 1 year at Notre Dame, and there was a gap between Wake Forest and Bowling Green, so. Anyways,
as a fan, to keep continuity, I hope that they promote internally.
Here's the thing: if they do, there's going to be an uproar from the fan base. Yeah, and people are going to be upset.
But I think that they started building something good. And I think and it's true. They did it last year. If they get a new defensive coordinator, they can do the same thing. But I think it's almost more of a gamble if you hire from outside. If you go from inside, it is also a gamble. But you can replace that guy, demote him, and bring in an outside defensive coordinator.
Here's something else. Elko was at Wake Forest, installed his defensive system, left, and Wake Forest had a very good defense this year. So. They got his philosophy. They got it started, and now somebody can keep going with that. Yeah, the difference is the play calling. When it comes down to play calling, knowing when to adjust, you know, what to do on the fly like that, that's where the experience comes in. And I think that's where it kind of will hurt Notre Dame, because Notre Dame isn't just playing, cupcake teams every week like other schools are, where they can kind of practice, you know, have an exhibition game.
And especially not
every game matters at Notre Dame.
And especially not the first game of the season.
Yeah, you're going into Michigan. So
either way, I do think that I don't see how Notre Dame can repeat the season they had this year next year. I already thought the offense was
hey, good. It's good that you're down, because the years that we've been down going into the season is when they've had good years. 2012 and this year was basically the lowest we've been. Well, least confident, I guess you could say.
Yeah,
and they had two of the best years.
No, I was pretty optimistic going into this year. Not
well
at the beginning of the season. I mean, maybe not in January.
We were hoping,
maybe not in January, but as in fall camp.
Yeah, we were hoping they could, but yeah, coming off the season last year. But Notre Dame has now had two 10-win seasons in 3 years. And I think there's only 20-some teams that have 10-win seasons this year, and some of them have been in conference championships, so they've actually played 14 games versus the 13. So they had one more game to get to the 10-win. Notre Dame won its first New Year's bowl game. Obviously, it's not one of the big ones, but it's a big bowl game. This was huge. They're trending in the right direction, so don't get down on Notre Dame.
All right. Anything more about Elko and the defensive coordinator?
No, I don't think so. He obviously didn't want to stay around, and so we'll obviously move on as well.
I do want to mention just a little tidbit. Ben Koyak is in the NFL, and he caught a touchdown pass yesterday.
That was impressive. It was fourth and goal, and it was a winning touchdown. So,
did you know he was in the NFL?
Yeah, I did, but I didn't know he was going to play.
Okay, let's talk about guys that have are no longer or are leaving the program.
Well, with the coaching, David Ballou.
Oh yeah,
the assistant strength and conditioning coach left, went to IU, and he's the head strength and conditioning coach there, and he played.
I believe he was a fullback at IU.
And he's from Indianapolis. He was strength and conditioning guy at one of the big high schools in Indianapolis. And so this is – obviously he's moving up, got a head coach or a head strength and conditioning job. So congrats to him. And then the other, as far, not a coach, but took care of all the players' helmets and uniform. Ryan Grooms moved on and
equipment
is working with
– manager.
Vices Pro, something like that. I'm not sure what all they do, but – the picture he tweeted out, he was setting up football helmet. I mean, it's still football related. I'm not sure what all it is, but he did get another job. But you hear his name a lot. He was very involved with the players and was around them a lot.
And then as far as players, let's start with the guys that are heading to the NFL early. Equanimeous and Adams both declared, and I'm not super surprised. Brian Kelly did say they, or maybe he didn't say it, but it was reported that they did get all their NFL, the reports back from the NFL, yeah, is either first round, second round, or stay in school. And all of the early, not early enrollees, but those wanting to go to the NFL early did get a go back to school grade.
So Adams did as well?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure it was all of them. I'll double check that as we keep on going here.
That could be just because there's not too many running backs that go in the first and second round. Well, last year was kind of an exception.
True. But are you surprised with Equanimeous or Adams' decision?
Not Adams. I think we all knew that and think he should go. Yeah, we'd love having him around, but for him having an NFL career, he needs to go. He wouldn't have gained anything. He would have lost coming back to Notre Dame because running backs is all about the miles you put on. And so he had a phenomenal year, even though he kind of had a slow ending. But EQ, yes, I was surprised. I didn't expect him to go. I'm not sure what his reasoning is. I mean, I guess the NFL is all about the measurements and everything, but he just, I don't know. I guess he's done with college football and ready to move on.
And then the others, C.J. Sanders, kind of surprised, but he wants to be a featured wide receiver that gets playing time as a wide receiver. Well, that hasn't happened. You would have thought, well, he's going to have opportunity this next year, but he had opportunity this year with Stevenson being out, and he didn't emerge. And so I think
that situation is more than just the talent or play. Something. For some reason, he's been kept off the field, and I don't know. Is it maybe it's his attention to detail? I don't know what it is, but as far as a receiver, I think he should have. He had the ability to. I mean, he should have gotten more playing time. So I think there was more going on behind the scenes there, so I'm not really surprised with that. But it looks like he will – I mean, it sounds like he'll be transferring to Vanderbilt, and he is graduating, and so he'd be eligible next year. And Notre Dame plays Vanderbilt, so there is a chance that we could see C.J. Sanders on the field next year. Some other guys, Pete Maqua, I don't think that's much of a surprise. Then Gummy Van Gorder. I'm kind of.
Are you sad to see him go?
Yeah. I think he did a lot for the team. Everybody obviously liked him. I think he helped keep the morale up, and he was a very good holder.
Special teams, as we saw in the bowl game, should not be overlooked or left.
Yeah, and he did a very good job at that. But it looks like he's going to transfer to Youngstown, and he'll probably get to play quarterback there. It's some people thought, like in the program, thought that he could have been a backup quarterback. I mean, from what we've seen, you know, the blue gold game, different things, he obviously smart player and can make plays, and I think he goes to Youngstown, he can make plays there. He can actually play quarterback for a year and have some fun doing that versus just coming back another year at Notre Dame, being the holder. probably hearing things about his dad, which I'm surprised he stayed around. He stuck it out.
Yeah.
And it was, maybe I did mention, it was kind of funny when he ran out on the field on senior day. Only his mom was there to greet him. So.
Probably a good thing.
Yeah. So anyways, another guy, Jonathan McAllister, he was a freshman defensive end, obviously came from the same school as
Parker Boudreau,
and he's actually going to join Parker Boudreau at Central Florida. So he's planning to play tight end there as well. He was a defensive end at Notre Dame. He was recruited as defensive end, and he would have been a project. Who knows if he would have got playing time or not. But I guess he can go down there and see if he can play. Central Florida is claiming a national championship. So even if you look at their Twitter bio, it says national champions. They had a parade and everything. So I wonder if they're going to get their rings that say national championship, but they're claiming it.
I guess if they buy their own rings, but I don't think they're going to get it from the NCAA.
And then another guy is Jonathan Bonner, which this is old news. This has come out a while ago, but he has announced that he's not going to play again next year. His mom does have cancer, so I don't know if he's just decided to move on with his life or what his plans are. But I think that's by everybody at this point.
I cannot confirm about Josh Adams go back to school grade, but I saw on Twitter or something, and I would definitely, it doesn't surprise me. I wouldn't expect him to go in the first or second round at all.
Well, I could see is that because his first or second or go back to school, and as a running back, no, I don't. He's not going to go in the first two rounds.
Okay. We got. I guess we'll just mention maybe. Irish Don asked that we ask the a Twitter poll about the pants that Notre Dame is currently using, and he dubbed as yellow versus the gold pants from back in the Holtz era. So he put that out. It was just before the game, and asked the Twitter followers, you know, what pants they prefer, and there was 22% for today's pants, that the Under Armour pants, 2017 yellow pants, and 78% for the Holtz era gold pants.
It'd be nice to have gold, but nobody can get that gold right.
I think what bugs me more is the helmets chipping as much as they do.
And well, I think that's the new helmet.
Well, they always chipped some, but definitely I thought it was more noticeable or more severe in the bowl game than it had been all season.
The last couple games.
But maybe it's just been so long since I've seen a football game.
No, it was the last couple games. They're like black underneath.
No.
Yeah, they
black.
Are.
Black?
Yes.
No.
Have you seen Drew Tranquil's helmet?
Yeah.
It's black.
That was not underneath the helmet. That was just dirt or something.
No, it's not.
Other guys were chipping too, and theirs wasn't black.
I know. There's a couple of the others. There's a new helmet. He's one of them. They've been trying out this new helmet, and they're obviously having issues with it chipping because ever since they tried that, the last couple of games of the year and the bowl game, they've had issues with the guys that have that. Drew Tranquil's bad. I'm trying to think who else it was.
Well, one of the offensive linemen was chipping badly, and it was the other ones, the other style, the older.
Okay, but they are trying out. So those are some new helmets. I don't like how they look either. Drew Tranquil's helmet looks horrible. Like the way it's shaped and everything.
I didn't even look that closely at. I noticed that it was black, but I thought it just looked like weird mud.
No, it's some new helmet technology that they're trying out. Or
anyway, did you have an opinion on the pants?
Well, I would like gold, but I don't think anybody can get it right.
Yeah.
So, I don't really have a complaint with how they are right now. Until I see that they can actually make a gold, but I'm scared it would just look, I don't know.
Like mustard.
The worst thing is I'd rather have it off like quite a bit than having the Alabama helmet jersey combo that does not, their red jerseys and pink helmets. It drives it. Watch it tonight in the bowl game. It drives me nuts. Here is the team that wins championships year after year, and they can afford to get to do something about it. That to me is because you can change, you can make the helmets any color you want. So Anyways.
Okay, I'm finding our score prediction winner, someone got it spot on. Jake Batchrod, 21-17. And I did double check to make sure it was tweeted in before the game, and it was. So congratulations to Jake, and he'll be getting 1 pound of free coffee from Main Street Roasters, mainstreetroasters.com. You can follow them on Twitter at MainSTRCoffee. And it's the best. I think it's the best coffee. I just had some earlier today. Love it. Smells great. Tastes great. And it's doing better when the Irish are winning for some reason. Okay, let's talk about the bowl game. And let's start with one of our predictions, Randall, was, or we kind of talked about, you know, what is more likely to happen, Josh Adams breaking a 50-yard run or Notre Dame having a successful screen pass. And we didn't see either of those. I guess let's just go over the numbers maybe first a little bit.
Well, I will say this about the game. I had a very bad feeling when I saw how the weather was. And then when you start switching quarterbacks, you just don't feel confident about the game at all.
Yeah, let's just go over overall numbers, and then we'll I have some questions for you then. Which team do you think was better at the end of the day? And then, but first, just looking at the overall numbers, Notre Dame passed for 216 yards, 164 of those coming from Book, and LSU passed for almost 230 yards. Notre Dame rushed for 150 yards, so much far below their average, and LSU rushed for 170. And then the biggest thing, and this goes into which team was better. In our preview podcast, Brandon, I said Notre Dame could not overcome more than a one turnover deficit.
Yeah.
And they were at two. Now, LSU missed two field goals. I mean, that ended up being huge as well. But
their special teams was horrible. Notre Dame was bad. Theirs was even worse.
Well, our kicking game was great. Really, the only part of our kicking team that was bad was the turnover.
Yeah.
On the punt. But it's hard for me to say which team was definitely better because, I mean, you overcome two turnovers. I mean, you shouldn't do that against a really solid team, and they were evenly matched. But I think what it came down to was LSU, they didn't have the turnovers, but the two missed field goals made a huge difference.
Yeah.
I don't know. Could you – basically, I think these teams were as even as they could have been. I mean – Notre Dame wins, LSU wins. Even if LSU wins, I don't feel that much differently about Notre Dame's performance if they're not able to go and score at the end, other than Ian Book. I mean, he's a gamer. I was impressed.
No, it would have been. I would have felt a lot different if they wouldn't have won the game.
Well, they barely did.
I know, but they did something against a good team. You know, everybody says they can't get a win against a good team. Well, they got a win against a good team. And they actually, Notre Dame now has the most, well, we don't know for sure until the last rankings come out. But Notre Dame will have more wins against top 25 teams than they, I think the last time they did was the first year, Willingham was the last time they had this many wins against top 25, teams that finish in the top 25. And LSU is a good team, and it's an SEC team. They have, you know, supposedly speed, tough defense, and yeah, they missed some starters, but Notre Dame missed a lot of starters as well. And Notre Dame did something else. They came back, and with under 2 minutes to go, they scored a touchdown.
And even at the end of the first half, they had 2 minutes, and they were able to get a field goal out of that too.
Yeah. So they showed some things. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of questions around this team. I mean, the quarterbacks and stuff. But
could Notre Dame have won if Brandon Wimbush would have played the entire game? And I can go first if you want a little time to think it over.
Go ahead.
No, they couldn't have. Brandon Wimbush started off the game with a great throw to EQ and a great run on the opening drive. But again, he missed open receivers. Yeah. And sometimes, I mean, I say he missed them. He threw to them, but it was either short or off, or sometimes just didn't even see them, and there was
they
were running wide open in the middle of the field. And that's the thing, even with LSU has this really good pass defense, there's still opportunities there. And if you can't complete 60% of your passes on average, then you're not getting the job done. And not saying, I mean, Brandon Wimbush did a lot for this offense, kind of for 30 touchdowns, and I don't think they would have scored as many points this year had Ian Book been playing the whole year. I don't. But Notre Dame would not have won this game. I don't think would have won this game if Brandon Wimbush would have played the whole game.
Finish.
Well, one thing we were talking about too in the preview was, will we be able to see a difference in Wimbush, you know, in the 4 weeks off, or 4 weeks between the last game? And there wasn't a difference from what I saw. I still hope.
So you gave up. You said this would show you. You were pretty confident that this would show you what kind of quarterback Wimbush is. Yeah. Are you done with him?
I mean, I still hope that this summer, because he's an incredible athlete. Even though Ian Book is effective as a runner, he's not Brandon Wimbush. And he doesn't have the arm strength that Wimbush has, even though Wimbush underthrows a lot of receivers. He has incredible arm strength. So I still hope that he can get his head straight this summer. And I'll be cheering for whatever quarterback is a starter come this fall. But I'm less confident that he's going to be able to break through this funk that he's in.
I think the off season is going to have a lot to do with it.
And here's the other thing, Book. He rolled out of the pocket a lot, and a lot of the times it seemed like it was a one read, and then he would take off scrambling, and even then, sometimes he was looking downfield and made a pass. But he connected on those short routes, either to running backs or the backfield, those short routes, he was able to hit them. And Brandon Wimbush, I mean, he threw way behind EQ on a little short crossing route. And maybe the biggest one was on the Notre Dame's first touchdown. Book converted a 3rd and 19, and I think that was the pass to Miles Boykin, I think. Completed pass to Miles on the left sideline. Beautiful pass, and there was a safety closing in, but dropped it in there. And then again on 3rd and goal, he was able to find Michael Young in the end zone. And a pass that, you know, it probably could have gotten, I'm sure he didn't see all the defenders there, and maybe it's a pass that might get picked off sometimes. But it wasn't there. He was open enough, and he drilled it in there.
Well, I think, this game, if we would have had the Brandon Wimbush to play at the beginning of the season, yes, they could have won the game. But at this point in the season, no, he obviously couldn't do it. And he obviously has no confidence. And he was just down about it. When Book was in there, Book knew what he was doing, where he was going. And when he decided to do something, that's what he was doing. I mean, you could just see a difference.
And Book made, he threw the pick that was just an awful, awful interception.
And after that, he came back and played extremely well. Now, I will say this. If a receiver would make a catch for
Wimbush
like he did, like Miles Boykins did for Book, that would make a huge difference. I don't think the receivers did not put that kind of effort into it all year.
But that was the one pass that I thought Fink had a really nice catch too on that final drive.
Yeah.
But that was
that was low. But he had the dive for that.
Yeah. True. But it wasn't not most of his passes were nice balls.
I agree, but I'm saying we did not see the receivers stepped up as well because they were not making those plays.
They did. Especially
the rest of the year.
Especially Miles Boykin, who ended up being the player of the game.
So that helped out. But yeah, Ian Book, he knew what he was doing. I still think that you give Wimbush an off season. This team is behind him. It's a confidence thing. It's not, he's got all the tools. I mean, if you just take all the talent, what he can do in practice and everything, he's the guy you want out there. And I'm still hoping he starts next year.
I hope so. I do hope so because
of his upside. With this offseason, If he stays away from George Whitfield, he can be a good quarterback. So it's a lot of it's going to be mental. And yeah, I'm not giving up on him. Obviously he was down. It's time to reset and get ready for next year.
Running game, the running backs, not very, at least overall the running game wasn't super productive, but it was productive enough. And even if you look at Adams' average, 15 carries for 44 yards, a 2.9 average, a long of 11, he did help move the chains. And he often picked up, you know, 3 yards, 4 yards. He didn't break off any big runs, but he was effective in the blocking game. And
that's why Adams was in there, by the way.
You're not gonna break off a 50-yard run against every... I mean, LSU is a very solid defense, even with all their handful of starters that they had out. Dexter Williams is an incredible running back, but you saw that he did allow that one sack where he did initiate the block, but then I couldn't see it on the TV, but he must just have released a block or the blocker.
He just didn't pick it up like he was supposed to. Well, that's why he hasn't been getting on the field.
Yeah, which is too bad because we would just have Tony Jones and Dexter Williams next year. He adds something that Tony Jones doesn't. And Tony Jones also was running hard. He only had the stat sheet shows him as one carry for 0 yards, but he did have a carry where he gained close to 10 yards running through guys, carrying guys.
And there was you saw the power, but yeah, that was called back. Dexter Williams is obviously an extremely gifted running back. It's the rest of the game that he is struggling with, but just let him run the ball. I mean, okay, he can't block, but he can obviously run the ball. If everybody knows he's going to run, you know, are they going to be able to stop him? Don't ask him to do all those other things.
I kind of agree with you, but that's not going to happen. We saw it previous years, too, with Theo Riddick versus Sierra Wood. I mean, the one guy was faster, more explosive, but Theo Riddick got the vast majority of the snaps.
Yeah. So, I think they're in good hands. I mean, Tony Jones, I mean, they're going to be, yeah, you're not going to have Josh Adams. It's not going to be as good as this year, but
Josh Adams was such a well-rounded.
You have Autry Dentron as the coach.
He's such a well-rounded player. I mean, he's very solid in the passing game when it's not thrown at his ankles. And he has speed. He doesn't have maybe the quickness that Dexter Williams has, but he was also able to run with power, so... I'm still pretty optimistic about Notre Dame moving forward into 2018 with the running back room, assuming that Dexter Williams is able to get on the field.
Tony Jones, he was kind of set up to fail in the one pass. He also caught two passes for minus 1 yard, but that one was the trick play where he had no chance. That wasn't anything to do with what he did. He just had no chance. He was set up for failure on that.
All right, let's talk about wide receivers a little bit.
The only thing I will say with Dexter Williams, you saw what he can do. He can run the ball. And he's a guy that I might get fed up with not getting more playing time and would be... I'm not saying he will, but I'm saying in my mind, that'd be a guy that would have, you know, a reason to transfer, maybe. Yeah. Kind of like C.J. Sanders. He's just, yeah. But he's been in the program for a long time, so he's got to learn this stuff at some point.
All right, let's move over and talk about wide receivers. Equanimeous, I did not see him in the fourth quarter. Did you notice that?
Sorry, I was looking at something on my phone.
Equanimeous, I did not see him in the fourth quarter in crunch time, when Notre Dame needed a score to get the lead.
No, I mean, that's what I mean. That's why I'm surprised he's going to the NFL. He's not aggressive enough. He hasn't stepped up when he needed to, like Miles Boykin did to make a play at the end of the game. He just hasn't done that. He doesn't have that killer instinct, I guess you could say. Looks like his brother does, but...
He did end up with 2 catches for 47 yards. Miles Boykin ended up with 3 catches for 102 yards and a touchdown, the game-winning touchdown. Chris Fink had 1 for 18. I'll include the tight ends in here. Nick Wisher had 2 for 13. Jerome Smythe 2 for 10. Then Michael Young had 2 catches for 8 yards, and 1 was for a touchdown.
It was nice to see Michael Young get that touchdown. He is from Louisiana, so it was against LSU. The other thing I like about Book being in there, it seems the tight ends are more involved. Like, he sees those guys.
To me, it looked like he would look at, often he was rolling out, and he would often look at one, his first read, and then, especially early on, it seemed he was running more. But you did see him hit some of those tight ends further on in the game. I think as he just got more comfortable, he trusted himself more to try to find those guys.
Well, I don't think Wimbush ever gets to those guys.
You think Wimbush takes off even quicker?
Well, he usually locks in on somebody or forces a throw and doesn't see the wide open guys. I mean, he just doesn't. And it seemed like when Book is in the game, even in other games that he's played, the tight ends are more involved or actually catch a pass. But they did a good job. Who's Alizé Mack?
Hopefully one of Notre Dame's starting tight ends next year. Let's move over and talk about defense. Very, very impressed. The goal line stand forcing the field goal that ended up being missed. There was 2 goal line stands. Dalen Hayes was involved in the one in the fourth quarter where LSU did convert the field goal. But so close that, I mean, if it would have been called a touchdown on the field, it might not have been overturned.
Yeah, yeah. No, they did a very good job, especially going against one of the best running backs. And they did a good job of stopping him. Okoro was in there for another sack. He's just going to continue to get better next year. Then you also saw the younger guys, Kurt Heinisch and Tagovailoa Mosa, played quite a bit. So you saw those guys get involved again. You're going to miss guys. I mean, Jonathan Bonner's leaving. Jerry Tillery is up in the air. So some of these guys are going to have to step up and play a lot next year.
I thought that the tackling, it was tougher, and you could see their footing on the defense wasn't as sure on both sides from LSU as well with the field conditions.
Yeah.
But it was still, I thought tackling was solid overall from the team, but it was excellent from Julian Love, Tavon, and Drew Tranquil. And Julian Love, on that final drive of LSU, he had 2 pass breakups. I mean, this guy's a sophomore. Absolutely incredible. Almost, I mean, he was going for the pick on, I think, his first pass breakup of that final drive. But just super, super impressed with him again. And Tavon Coney led the team with tackles, 17 tackles. Had 1 quarterback hurry. Just phenomenal. Drew Tranquil had a huge tackle for loss.
I think one of the biggest differences on this defense from this year to next year is going to be if Tavon Coney comes back.
I think so, too, because, yeah. He makes a difference.
And talking about Julian Love, he proved once again that why he's not going to move to safety next year. But
well, let's talk about the safeties.
Well, I wanted with the linebackers, Niles Morgan was not a captain.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, something happened leading up to the bowl game. He was stripped of that title, didn't get to walk out for the coin toss, and wasn't up on the stage afterwards celebrating with the other captains. Not sure what happened there, but along with him, McIntosh was another guy that got sent home from the bowl game. So there were a couple guys out there that who knows what happened, but they were punished for it, and Brian Kelly said it was an internal matter. But then, yeah, safeties.
Well, and Niles Morgan did end up with 9 tackles. He didn't start the game.
He didn't start, but he came in, what, the third play, I think?
Yeah, he came in early and was also effective. Still missed some opportunities, maybe, or had some missed tackles, but still had a big impact. And then the safeties, I haven't been nearly as critical as I think a lot of people have been, but the safeties look great when they're in the box in run support. But then when they're out trying to defend passes, they just don't make plays.
No.
And sometimes they're there, but they just don't make the play.
No, I was impressed how Jalen Elliott was making plays up at the line of scrimmage. But his job, I mean, that's not really his job. I mean, obviously that's what he asked for plays, asked to do, but they're not breaking up passes. They're not getting interceptions. I don't think there's any interception from the safety group the entire year. But you saw some of the young guys get in. Jordan Ganmark Heath was in there.
And he had ended up with 5 tackles.
That's promising. Isaiah Robertson played a little bit. He got – Brian Kelly wasn't too happy with him at one point. But I think next year – I'm not quite as worried about the safety group as what –
there's enough bodies coming in and young guys getting older that
I still think Gilman is going to start next year. I've been saying that all along. He would have been starting this year if he would have been eligible, and then Brian Kelly confirmed that.
Yeah, Brian Kelly says a lot of things that you can't.
Anyways, but they got guys. Derek Allen is coming in. Everybody's excited about him, but I still don't think he's going to start next year. There's guys on this team that can play safety and can make a difference. And Julian Love is not going to move to safety.
I don't think he is either, because he's just he's almost a lockdown corner. On that final drive, he was
like
a lockdown corner.
There's no locked, and Brian Kelly likes to say there is nothing like a lockdown corner in college football, but he's as close yet, and you're not going to move a guy. Yeah.
The other cornerbacks.
Yeah, he might be good, but you're not going to move Josh Adams to tight end because tight ends need help.
Well, you might if you had equal to as good running backs behind him. But I don't think you do. I think there is Sean Crawford, very promising, and I think had a decent year, had a good year. And there's some other young guys coming up. I still think there's a big gap between Julian Love and the other cornerbacks.
Let's say Sean Crawford played the entire year. So that is a step in the right direction for him.
That is.
And Drew Tranquil.
Yeah.
So these guys are definitely moving in the right direction. So you can give them a little bit of a break, because Sean Crawford hasn't played this much football in a couple months in a very long time. I don't know if he ever did. So.
All right. Did you want to go through any of the position groups specifically that we didn't cover?
Not really. Now it's time to see what's going to happen, who's coming back, some of the fifth-year guys. But, I mean, I think it's pretty clear the starters that are leaving, except for Tillery and
Coney.
Those are the two guys that you still watch for. And I guess maybe the biggest change on the defense would be who the coordinator's going to be and what kind of scheme that they run.
So we're
It would be bad. Here's what's bad. They've been recruiting guys for this defense now, especially like the Rover.
Yeah, but look who they got to play the Rover, a guy that was playing safety. And so
I know, but depending what – yeah.
I mean, they can – he'll either be a linebacker or a safety.
You want Drew Tranquil back at safety?
No.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think we'll do an emergency podcast. Maybe if there's major breaking news with the defensive coordinator, but we'll probably wait until next week if it's announced by then. So, the season ended on a positive note. Go ahead.
Who do you think is going to win the championship game tonight?
Oh, yeah, we should talk about that. I think it's going to be Alabama, and I don't think it's going to be close.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I think it's going to be more than 12 points.
I just said, are you serious, and Siri woke up on my phone.
Even though I was the biggest antagonist of Alabama getting into the playoff, it wasn't because I didn't think they were good. It was because of who they had played.
Yeah. I thought that the committee made the right decision, but I thought it didn't matter because Clemson was going to blow out them or Ohio State. Well, that obviously didn't happen. And as much as I absolutely hate and despise Alabama, didn't even want to see them in the championship game, I think they're going to win just because they play Georgia, and I usually get the team that.
No, they haven't played Georgia this year. They played Auburn.
Auburn, okay. That's right. I was thinking it was the other. I'll be rooting for Georgia.
I'll be rooting for Georgia, too.
You know how much better that'll look for Notre Dame if Georgia can win the national championship and Notre Dame played them to a one-point game. Was the closest to beating them?
No, they lost. Didn't Auburn beat them one time?
Oh, true. But they avenged that loss. But Notre Dame, besides Auburn, Georgia, at that point in time, we didn't expect that. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, Georgia was definitely.
It would look even better for Notre Dame. I feel very good about Notre Dame's season. 10-win season, won a big bowl game against a good opponent. They destroyed teams this year. I think they started the year. We can say they started the year. It was on New Year's Day. They started off on the right foot, and it'll keep getting better.
All right. On that note, we'll wrap up the podcast. Thank you guys for listening. Hope everyone had a great new year. Hope the year is going well for you guys. Check out the forums if you want to, forums.irishsportstalk.net. We haven't been quite as active on it because
I haven't had internet.
Randall hasn't had internet, and I've been I just haven't been posting a whole lot. But there's a lot of things going to be happening here soon as far as player personnel, coaching personnel. So head over there if you want to add to the conversation. Forums.irishsportstalk.net. Follow us on Twitter @irishsportstalk. And until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.